Jazz at 20 Minutes or Less Podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Friday, February 9th, 2018. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
We're about to get on a bus with our friends from Big Rock and head out to Castle Mountain for a day of snowboarding. Sorry, there's one of our buddies here is voicing a commercial in the next room, and it's just... He's still going. It's just hilarious.
The things you hear at a radio station, he's yelling as loud as he can. Winter, winter, winter.
I'm so sick of winter.
Yeah, it was a kid.
For a commercial, but
yeah, it's good.
We didn't know that. We got this call earlier on the show today.
We have your guys wake us up in the morning on our alarm clock. It's a clock radio, so it just comes on. And I didn't want to get up this morning. I actually had a dream that Eckler and I, we were actually working out. And I told him that we had to do squats, and he said, no, it's all about our shoulders.
This was in your dream?
Yeah, because you guys were talking on the radio. It came into, like, my subconscious was like, hey, wake up.
And what came through was that we weren't going to work our legs, that I was actively encouraging you to skip leg day. Shauna, do you see what your bullshit has done?
Because I didn't wake up to work out this morning, so my subconscious was trying to make me feel really guilty, and then... wake up because you guys were talking on the radio.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's, well, at least we know it was a dream, right? It's not accurate.
Not accurate.
Totally accurate. You're only dreaming because it's truthful.
Yesterday, after the radio program, when we do what we need to do and around the office, then head home, I was leaving. I was going out the lobby here, if you've ever been in our building, you know, the lobby. And as soon as I walked in, it smelled so strongly of old lady perfume.
Oh.
But there was nobody else in there. The lobby was empty.
So it was a trail. It was a trail that was left behind from the old lady perfume, which is kind of what it does, right? It hangs out there. It lingers.
You shouldn't leave an essence when you leave a room. That means you're wearing too much cologne or too much scent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that old lady perfume, too. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Oh, man. Oh, man. It's that scent that just, it stings your nostrils a little bit, right? Like it smacks you in the face a little. It smacks you around, wakes you up. You're like, whoa, whoa.
Dude, why do older ladies like wear so much of that? Is it to mask the scent of old lady?
No, I think their nostrils may be a little less sensitive, right? Like
from years of wearing that perfume, they've burnt it all off on the inside.
They want a little more of it every time. They're like, you need to know I'm here, okay?
Ode to old lady.
Gaudy brooch by Bobby.
The essence of divorce. Third husband. By Estee Lauder.
Oh, the Scotch mints. They're from the purse.
The new scent from Vera Wang, mother-in-law. Cadillac DeVille. Ooh.
Scent to colorful scarves.
Same spot in church every week by Chanel.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
This story is just... unbelievable. The former finance minister of Manitoba has had to apologize to a group of female staffers for years of unwanted tickling. Stan Struthers is his name. He was an NDP MLA until 2016 when he stepped down, and he's been accused. He kind of owned up to it of tickling.
He came clean on his tickling?
Yes. Okay. A number of female staffers between 2010 and 2015. You would just, like, see them in the hall and...
Tickle them.
Like, there was a lot of, like, unwanted touching, massages. It got so bad that the one of the women who complained about him said that they were on a road trip somewhere. They had a two-hour road trip. And he kept trying to, like, steer the conversation towards suggestive topics. And then he would put his hand on her thigh in the car. And she's, like, trapped in the car with this guy.
Yeah, that's not good.
Brutal! Brutal. You can't be doing that.
No,
you cannot be touching people.
That part goes a little... The tickling part is kind of funny, only because, again, I understand that this is still unwanted touching, and it's not something you're supposed to do, but it's tickling, and it's something that you, like, you know, you do to babies. So thinking of him being known as Mr. Tickles.
Well, that's what his staffers called him, was Minister Tickles.
Minister Tickles.
Behind his back, yeah. And I can't even read the article. Like, it's... It reads like a comedy article. And like you said, Shauna, it's unwanted touching. It is completely inappropriate. Dude was in the wrong.
It's just, The word tickles should
yes,
just...
Yes, the word
should, can
tickles.
We come up with a more serious word than tickling, please? Like, grabbing in a,
I think
an
unwanted touching
way,
is...
That's better.
Is kind of sums it all up.
For sure. When you throw tickling in there, I'm reminded of Elmo, and it just... It takes things in a different direction.
Here's one of the women who was tickled by him. Jeez, I can't even say that. She said, quote, "It's about power, being tickled. It comes into your personal space and ignores your validity as a person to control your personal space, your agency."
Mm. Yes, it's true.
Just the word tickled again.
It's
what,
just
what the hell is happening in the world, Shauna?
Like,
what is going on?
I'm going to start just tickling you. Like, I'm just going to...
You can't. That's my personal space. I do not want to be tickled.
Okay, sorry. I won't.
Don't tickle people, okay? Don't tickle people you work with. Tickle your baby's belly.
Don't even tickle your babies. Maybe they don't want it either. You
That's
know what?
A good
Let's
point.
Just forget tickling, all That's right? Forget it all.
Don't tickle.
Don't tickle.
Just reading that Facebook and Google have revised their policies for dating coworkers. And of course, this in the recent light of the, you know, the workplace harassment and everything coming mm-hmm. to the forefront, they've decided that they wanted to revise things to try and help protect the companies on the one hand from this type of thing, trying to protect the employees from having harassment happen.
Of course.
So this is what it's changed to. They're allowed to ask out a coworker just once. And if the person turns them down, they do not get to ask again. This is the wording in their contract. It says you are allowed to ask out a coworker once, turn you down, never again.
That's cut and dry.
It is.
Yeah.
And then it says ambiguous responses like "I'm busy" or "I can't that night" also count as a no.
Wow.
So you need to move on. If they say no, never again, that's in their contract now.
Well, I think I'm 100% in favor of this. I think it gives people an easy out if they're not interested.
Yeah.
And then that's it, right?
Yeah. I think it's genius. It's a way of being able to put something in your contract, but not really intruding into your personal lives by saying you can't date a coworker. Mm-hmm. It's not doing that. But it is. It's giving you that protection. If it happens, or if something happens that you don't necessarily like, you can then go back to your contract and say, I have grounds to, you know, complain about this mm-hmm. or take action if I need to.
And if you're both into each other,
yeah.
and you're still allowed to proceed with that.
Yeah.
But if one of you is even slightly hesitant, you have that easy out that's very clearly worded. That's the big thing too. There's
yes.
no ambiguity there. It's
no.
These are the rules. You can say no thank you and that is it.
Yeah.
Right. Because the reason I think this is so important is because there are a lot of people, and I'm sure you know people like this in your own lives, who don't pick up on social cues.
Yes.
They have very low what I would call social intelligence
mm-hmm.
and they aren't aware of when they're making people uncomfortable or when their advances are unwanted. And you can see it. You're like, man, like that girl is not into you. You got to back off the hammer here.
Yes.
But they don't see it.
No, and they're not doing it in a threatening way and they're not meaning to make you uncomfortable. They honestly just don't pick up on that cue. So this is a way that you can then kind of just either explain it to them or have somebody help you through a situation like that might become very awkward for you.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. I think this is the way that things need to go. Very clear, concise language that gives people very obvious avenues to pursue or not pursue a
yes.
romantic relationship with someone. I think that's awesome.
It is a little bit weird, though, to think about your relationships in that way. Like, it's now a business transaction.
Absolutely.
You know, like, it's
Absolutely.
Written in your contract. Your relationships are now a part of your work contract.
A little bit of the romance is gone, but everyone's protected in exchange, and I think that's worth it. I'm kind of surprised that inter-office relationships don't happen more often than they even do.
It says that 41% of people have dated a coworker, so that's...
Okay, that's pretty high.
That's pretty high.
You spend a lot of time with those people. You
yeah.
obviously have similar interests if you're in the same field of work.
Yeah, we have an office where a lot of that has happened in the past. Like, we're kind of known for that in our office. Some radio stations, though, do not... It's like 100% you're not allowed to date a coworker. And with our industry, I totally understand because, as you said, we spend a lot of time together.
Yeah. And then if it doesn't work out, how awkward is that?
Oh, man.
One of you's probably got to leave then.
Oh.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was just listening to what you were saying about dating the workplace and everything like that. And it just reminded me of my, like, uncle and my, like, grandpa used to be like, well, I asked her out 5 times. She said no. And then the 6th time, she said yes. And we got married 5 weeks later.
Man, I know. And that's kind of... almost how we were taught. Like, persistence is a good thing. And, like, you hear these romantic stories about, yeah, like, you just... But you
don't
can't
give
do
up.
That
She'll fall for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's even my cousin. Her husband asked her out 3 or 4 times. She was in a relationship at the time. And then when she wasn't, oh, window was open, he got in.
Well, even my boyfriend was very persistent.
Cliff,
like,
was?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he constantly was just asking me out. And I thought we were just friends. And he just kept going. And then eventually, like, yeah, I started falling for him. But it took a long time. It wasn't just instantly like, I'm going to date you right now.
So where's the line between being a creepy dude and being a, like, nice, persistent guy?
Yeah.
That's tough to say. I think it depends on the situation. And like I said, there are some people that, like, it's very clearly a no and will always be a no, and they don't pick up on that.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And it is nice to have, like, the safety in the language of the workplace.
For sure. Yeah, in the context of the workplace, it's very important. I also think, and I could probably be accused of victim blaming here, but I think that, you know, women also have traditionally made guys work for it, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
So we're kind of, like, pre-programmed to think that's how it works. And, I mean, that's not really healthy for anybody. It would be great if everyone just cut the shit and spoke frankly about things.
And it's weird, though, because that's happening less and less. Like, I never really had the friends, like, you hear about that. It's almost like the traditional way it was, is women, like, play hard to get.
Yes.
But, like, with my group of friends, none of us were like that. Like, if you liked a dude, you're obviously going to go out with him. If you didn't, then you wouldn't. So I think that is slowly changing, but that is the traditional, like, views of how things go, is women will play hard to get, and they'll be like, they need the knight in shining armor to rescue them and do all this to get them.
Yeah, but from my perspective, I'm pretty happy that things are being clear and just concise, and this is the way it is. Okay, I'm down with that.
Yeah, we could stop playing games and just, like, come out and say what you want or what you don't want. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
X92.9.
Welcome to Conspiracy Corner, your platform for outlandish conspiracy theories. I'm Beckler. That's Shauna.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Sorry.
Hi. No, it's fine.
We haven't had a spicy conspiracy theory on this show for a while.
No, this one's terrifying, actually.
We've talked in the past about how it seems that the music industry is able to pick somebody out and make them.
Yes.
Like, you're going to be a star. We're going to put all of our resources into you, and we're going to make you happen.
They see the potential, and they go, you know what? We know how to do this. We've got the resources for you. Come with us. Come with us.
And I always just thought that was the process of creating a star.
Mm-hmm.
But we know a guy who has a different theory. It says it's a little more complicated than that. It has to do with the contracts that these artists sign.
Yes.
And we've had to keep this guy anonymous for his own safety, lest the music industry come after him.
Mm-hmm.
But the example that we're working with here is Cardi B. Do you remember Cardi B? Came out of nowhere, had one of the biggest songs of last year, and she's just terrible.
We played one of her songs on the station, and I just couldn't fathom what was going on with her. It was horrifying.
So listen to this.
Well, basically, it's out with the old and in with the new. Because the old people cost too much money to pay, because they, you know, they've got more power.
You're talking about old rappers like Jay-Z and Diddy.
Yeah, but all of them, though, basically, as they get older, they get more control over their own music and stuff, and then they want a lot more money. And it makes it harder for the machine to make money off of them. So then they came up with these things called 360 deals. And these are real things you could look up, where they get money from everything you do, including your touring money, which in the past, the industry didn't get any money from that. That was money you got to keep. But now your label gets a part of it. They get a part of your t-shirt sales. They get a part of everything that you do. And the old rappers, they won't sign these deals. So the machine doesn't really want to push them anymore, because why would they?
So with the example of someone like Cardi B, it's in the industry's best interest for her to be famous, because they stand to make the most money off her fame.
Yes. And she comes from a show called Love and Hip Hop. And I also believe that they can take a Cardi B and show you that she signed this horrible deal and was on this crappy show, but then when they're pitching this to the next artist, they say, look what we did with Cardi B. We could do that with you too. And then the person signs their life away.
That makes perfect sense.
That is the most ominous theory we've had in a long time, especially with that terrifying voice.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
That's
But if you have an artist that you have a bigger stake in, then you want that artist to be the one that does the best.
That's crazy.
Isn't that? I never thought about that. Yeah. I wonder if that permeates into other genres. Like, does that happen in rock? Does that happen in alternative?
It probably does. We need to stop talking about this, though, because the music industry will be after us.
X92.9.
I was reading a news story about a couple in Michigan, and they're expecting their 14th child.
Wow, that's a big family.
14th.
Are they Catholic?
I don't know. They must be. But they were saying that they're not going to find out the sex of this child. They still want it to be a surprise. And I was like, you'd think that after, you know, child 10, you'd be over the whole surprise of what gender it's going to be. But in the article, they say, you know, if you have 3, it's the same as having 10 at this point, if you ask me.
This is what the couple said?
This is what the couple said. It was the woman in particular, the mom.
If you have 3, it's the same as having 10.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, gonna have to disagree with you there, Mom.
That's a 7-child difference. There's no way that is similar. There is no way in hell.
The only way that I could see that being true is if my wife McKenna is from a big family. She's the youngest of 6.
Yeah.
But they almost had their kids in 2 waves. There's 3 older kids, 3 younger kids. And McKenna says, like, the older kids were like grown and gone by the time she was, like, they had moved to play hockey or go to school, and she doesn't really remember them all that much when she was growing up. So maybe in that sense.
Interesting.
It's not like you have 14 little kids all at once.
Right. Okay, that makes a little more sense. So that's hilarious, actually. I never even thought of that, doing it in waves. Then the older ones can look like, you know, look after the younger
ones.
Yeah,
for sure. You got built-in babysitters. I'm sure
genius.
The oldest in this family maybe even be old enough to drive, so then you got an extra driver.
Oh. Can you imagine, though, being like the 14th and being the oldest of 14, and mom and dad are like, we're going out for the night. Just look after your 13 brothers and sisters. Good luck.
Yeah, like, what do you drive?
Oh.
McKenna said that her family has never all traveled somewhere in the same vehicle.
You can't. Unless you get a gigantic ass van that fits like a school bus. You buy yourself a school bus.
There was a family at my high school that had 13 kids.
Really?
Yeah. And there was one in like every grade.
In every grade. 13 kids.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
my grandfather.
Very
my
Catholic, of course.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And my grandfather was born into a family of 14, but that was more common back then.
You said grandfather again.
I did.
Yeah.
I do. I've switched it up.
You have.
I say grandfather now.
Yeah. Families were because if you needed people to work, you needed people to work on the farm. Yeah, I don't know if were they farmers?
They were.
Yeah, so, and the other thing is, I think, like, it sounds terrible, but a lot of kids didn't survive. A lot of kids didn't survive out of infancy or childhood. Like, there was disease.
You keep popping them out just so that, you know, you have enough?
I guess so.
Wow. You know, if you have a family that big, though, the thing is that you have to live in the country. You have to live in the middle of nowhere. You can't afford to have a city house.
You can't live downtown Calgary.
No.
There's no condos that are going
to
have room for 16 of you.
No, no. It's very expensive. Like, that's the thing, is having that many kids is a damn expensive thing to do.
The other thing is, you'd almost have to be like, okay, you each get to do one activity.
Yeah.
Because we can't afford for you all to play hockey and dance and everything.
And that's why I think living in the middle of nowhere is the best, because then there's not even a lot of organized activities for them to do, so you don't have to spend money on it.
Yeah. Like, I just thought of another reason why families might have been bigger back then. Attitudes around birth control. There was no pill.
Right.
I don't know how common, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, getting your tubes tied, getting a vasectomy.
Yeah, that was
how common that was.
Not common. Not
right?
Common
and even,
at
like,
all.
Religious attitudes toward birth control probably would have been different. So.
True.
He's got these kids all over the place.
Yeah,
kids everywhere.
You wanted to, you know, do the dirty. Didn't have birth control, so you're gonna have another kid afterward.
That's the podcast for today. We've grown this podcast to have quite a dedicated following. Like, there's a group of people that download almost every episode, I think.
A followership?
The followership of the ring.
Yes. See what I did? I did that for you, okay?
Thank
you're welcome.
You. Thank you so much. If you want to leave us a review on iTunes, if you haven't done that already, we'll probably read it on the podcast. Or if you want to send us some mail, we love getting mail as well. You can email either of us or get at us on social media.
Dig into the mailbag.
We'll be back on Monday with another one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative X92.9. x929.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 minutes or less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.